They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right. The words of Justice Anthony Kennedy in today's landmark decision. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's a decision that will stand as a milestone in the Supreme Court's 226-year history. Today, the High Court legalized same-sex marriage across the United States. The justices ruled in a 5-4 decision that states cannot deny gay men and lesbians the same marriage rights enjoyed for thousands of years by opposite-sex couples. We'll talk about the ruling, its impact, with our analysts. We also want you to join us with your reaction by phone or social media. First, a look at this hour's news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, a decision that will stand as a milestone in the Supreme Court's 226-year history, the High Court legalizing same-sex marriage across all of these 50 United States. The justices ruled 5-4 that states cannot deny gay men and lesbians the same marriage rights enjoyed for over thousands of years by opposite-sex couples. Justice Anthony Kennedy, writing for the majority, announced the decision to a hushed courtroom this morning. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right, he said. In the dissent, Chief Justice John Roberts read for 10 minutes from his dissent, accusing the majority of overstepping their bounds, ignoring the Constitution. Today, he said, five lawyers have ordered every state to change their definition of marriage. Just who do we think we are? We want to get your reaction to this momentous decision handed down from the Supreme Court this morning. Give us your reaction. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Are you personally affected by this decision? We'll talk with someone a little bit later who was a woman married to her wife here in Iowa, moved to Texas, and did not have her marriage recognized. We'll talk with her in just a few, hear from her in just a few minutes. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org is our email. We're also on Facebook, where you can leave your comment or question, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us for this hour, Scott Peters, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Northern Iowa in our Cedar Falls studio. Scott Peters, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ben. It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us on this day. Tom Witowski is with us for 33 years. He's covered Iowa politics, law, business, and sports for the Des Moines Register. He's co-author of Equal Before the Law, How Iowa Led Americans to Marriage Equality in our Des Moines studio. Tom, welcome to you as well.
Good afternoon, Ben. Thank you for asking me.
Good afternoon to you. Let's get a little bit more about the majority decision. Scott Peters, tell us, what was the reasoning?
Well, in the opinion written by Justice Kennedy, the court focused on the 14th Amendment. There's two different protections in the 14th Amendment. States cannot deprive people of due process. States cannot deprive people of liberty without due process of law, and states cannot deprive people of equal protection of the laws. And the court has long recognized in one way or another that that liberty that's protected in the 14th Amendment includes more than just freedom from physical restraint, that it includes the ability to in some way have other types of rights, fundamental rights protected.
Mm-hmm.
And what Kennedy said then for the court was that those fundamental liberties, and this is a quote, extend to the personal choices central to individual dignity and autonomy, including intimate choices defining personal identity and beliefs. The majority opinion goes into a long history of marriage, kind of roots the rights that the petitioners were seeking in that history and those traditions, talks about the uniqueness of marriage as a two-person union, the intimacy involved, the need for the state to protect that intimacy, talks about the safeguards, the need for the state to safeguard children and families. And then finally, the opinion also turns to the Equal Protection Clause, and this is another quote from the opinion. Marriage laws, the marriage laws that are at issue, the court said, are in essence unequal. Same-sex couples are denied benefits afforded opposite-sex couples and are barred from exercising a fundamental right.
Mm-hmm. Tom Witowski, give us a little historical context here. It's a decision today that is the culmination of decades of litigation, activism, comes against this backdrop of very fast-moving changes in public opinion, especially over the past 10 years. Polls indicating now that most Americans approve of same-sex marriage on par with opposite-sex marriage. Tell us about the larger context here and Iowa's place in it. It has a significant post here in this historical process.
Well, it really does, Ben. The history, I suppose you would look at it and say the history has been rather quick. It began with civil unions in Vermont in the late, I think in 1998, 1999. Massachusetts came up with the first decision, 4-3 decision in 2003. Then Connecticut in late 2008, California in 2008, but California's court decision, which was also 4-3, and as was Connecticut's 4-3, was overturned by Proposition 8, a constitutional amendment to the California Constitution. Then came Varnum, and Varnum began essentially with the filing of a lawsuit in Polk County District Court in 2005, went to the Supreme Court in 2008. It was a unanimous decision. It put Iowa on the map in the sense of it was the only state in the Midwest that was going to permit same-sex marriage for many, many years. And there's a lot of echoes in the decision today by Justice Kennedy. You can find a lot of the same stuff in the Varnum case. Decision today was a little bit broader in the sense that it included due process protections.
Can you point to specifically what you saw? And I know there hasn't been a lot of time to digest this decision at 26 pages, I think, something like that. That ties it really into the Varnum decision?
Sure. The first is what first and foremost is one of the principles that Justice Kennedy used, and that had to do with children. Now, the Varnum decision in and of itself did not mention children per se, but what happened was that the attorneys for the plaintiffs in the case asked and got into the record that the children of two of the Iowa couples, were made co-plaintiffs. And it raised the question, or at least presented the question, of the impact on children by these bans on same-sex marriage. Obviously, Justice Kennedy has been very concerned about that. And in fact, he said, and I'm quoting, a basis for protecting the right to marry is that it safeguards children and families and thus draws meaning from related rights of child rearing, procreation, education. That's one of the echoes. Another of the echoes is toward the end of the opinion in today's decision, Justice Kennedy brings up the issue of religious freedom. Mark Cady, the justice who wrote the Varnum case, was the first one to mention and to explain that this decision would have no impact on religion, religious belief, religious doctrine, and that there would be no impact on that in terms of any religion being forced to perform a same-sex marriage. There are other a little bit more subtle echoes having to do with how could a constitution that was written a long time ago, 1857, permit a development like this, and also the notion of this isn't a right to same-sex marriage. This is simply extending the right to marry to gay and lesbian couples. So in that sense, there's a lot of echoing going back and forth. And if you read the two, you can come to the conclusion pretty clearly that Iowa was obviously prescient, at the time courageous because of the public opinion opposition, which ironically polls are showing began to change not in 2009, right after the Varnum decision, and now we're here 6 years later, And it's quite a different climate and scenario.
Mm-hmm. Tom Witowski is with us, the Des Moines Register, co-author of Equal Before the Law, How Iowa Led Americans to Marriage Equality. Scott Peters of the University of Northern Iowa, associate political science professor there. Getting your reaction, talking about the underpinnings of the landmark decision issued by the Supreme Court today, making same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. Join our conversation with your reaction or post your reaction on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk or call 1-866-780-9100. Is this something you are celebrating or is it something that has you upset? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Ed Reggie is with us as well. Now, you may remember him from a past program. He's the organizer of the Love Bus from St. Louis. Ed, you are in a same-sex marriage. Also organized this Love Bus, a bus that takes low-income Missouri same-sex couples to Iowa City to get married. Tell us about your reaction.
Well, I am absolutely, I'm cloud nine today, as you can imagine, like many same-sex couples all over the country. There's a sense of total, just feeling like we're like everyone else today. I mean, that our right to be married is valid, not just, we're happy that it was valid in states like Iowa, but we're very happy that Missouri, which didn't recognize our marriage, now must.
Is Missouri one of the many states that has a ban on same-sex marriage so that it doesn't recognize you in any way?
Actually, Missouri was one of the first states in 2004 to pass a constitutional amendment. It was sort of one of we did it in our primary. So Missouri was one of the test states where if it could happen here, and 73%. I make no doubt 73% of the Missourians in 2004, went to the polls and said, we're going to change our constitutional amendment to define marriage between a man and a woman. So, yes, Missouri was absolutely one of those 13 states that refused to acknowledge my Iowa marriage license.
Mm-hmm. What's been happening this morning? Friends, colleagues, neighbors, have you had interesting reaction?
Well, the bus that my husband and I, when we got married and we ended up then doing 15 buses after that first bus, we didn't, set out to go in the bus, the transportation of couples to Iowa, but it just happened that way. And, 250, couples have been literally calling us all morning, just excited. They're confused. They don't know also what this means. They're trying to find out the details. And so there's so much, as you can imagine, just excitement about this, but still a little confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you able to provide all those answers, Ed, about the practical nature of now having your marriage, which until this morning was not recognized in Missouri? I assume this goes immediately into effect. Do you have to do anything? Is there anything? What do you know about that?
Well, we're working closely with the ACLU. The ACLU has been very helpful with us here, our chapter here in Missouri, and this goes into immediate effect. So literally the marriage license counters across the state, not just now in St. Louis City. Our mayor has already been issuing marriage licenses in sort of against the Missouri legislation, and it was going to be heard in the Missouri Supreme Court, but that is now moot. The Missouri Supreme Court does not have to hear the case anymore. The marriages are going to happen in every county in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Ed, what are you doing today to celebrate with your husband?
Well, I am doing a lot of celebrating remotely. I am unrelated to this. I'm at an international festival today with youth. It's actually with teenagers. So I am surrounded by 4,000 teens. I teach a lot. I'm a teacher. And so I'm surrounded by them. And all morning, these teens, ages 14 to 18, have been coming to me saying it's about time. And that really, I mean, I'm sad that I'm not with my husband to celebrate in my city. I'm in Lincoln, Nebraska to this morning, but I'm so elated that I have teenagers from all around the United States and other countries with me and doing these workshops and telling me this morning that they were shocked it took this long. So that really gives me such hope. And they're also saying, many of them, that now is the time to go to the next step. You know, what can we do for housing discrimination, employment discrimination, transgender discrimination? In other words, many of them, these wise teenagers, are saying, can we check the box on marriage and now let's fight and move on for some other important rights?
Okay. Ed Reggie, organizer of the Love Bus from St. Louis, thanks for this conversation. Very quickly, before we go, is the does this spell an end to the Love Bus tours up to Iowa to get married? I suppose its reason for being is done.
Well, it is, but I'm not going to say, I mean, I have a place in my heart, and so do all those couples for Iowa. So we will be doing lots of anniversary trips, you know, on the number 5 anniversary and number 10. So Iowa is going to benefit. I'm just saying that because we have such a place in our heart that I feel led the nation on this.
Okay. Ed Reggie, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Ed Reggie, organizer of the Love Bus from St. Louis. We've had him on a previous program. We're marking the momentous decision this morning by the Supreme Court, deciding that same-sex marriage is legal in all 50 states, including the states like Missouri, where it is not recognized by law. It is now, as of this morning. 1-866-780-9100. Join our conversation. Leave your comment at Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk. Donna Redwing is with us, Executive Director of One Iowa. Donna, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Tell me about your morning. Tell me about the moment and how you characterize this victory.
Well, it's been a great morning. Let me say that we are celebrating. What else can we say? This is an historic decision. It will change the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans, and it's everything we could hope for.
Mm-hmm. We talked there, and I think you heard some of the conversation with Ed Reggie there, in states, and Iowa is not one of these. Iowa has, since 2009, recognized same-sex marriages, but in 13 or so states, so you could be married, say, in Iowa, go to these states, have your marriage not recognized. Do you know anything about the nuts and bolts now of having your marriage recognized? Does that just happen automatically? Are there a lot
of... Yes, because the Supreme Court ruled in the affirmative around the constitutionality of marriage for same-gender couples, that means that marriage equality is the law of the land. And so not only is an Iowa marriage recognized in, say, South Carolina, but South Carolina will now be legally obligated to marry same-gender couples. And so across the nation, marriage equality is the law of the land.
Okay. So no court, no authority in this country can refuse a same-sex marriage?
That's true.
Okay. And this is not pertain, because this has been a misunderstanding all along, this does not pertain to churches, Donna.
Right. I mean, here in this, well, first of all, let's celebrate this victory. It means that marriage is legal and same-gender couples can be legally married and, you know, enjoy all of the rights and responsibilities of marriage. In this country, we have something called religious liberty. And religious liberty, the freedom for and from religion, it allows religious institutions, denominations, houses of worship to make decisions around who it will and will not marry. So just as I've worked for most of my life toward this day, I would also stand up for the right of a church who chose not to marry a same-gender couple to do that. My hope is that within those bodies, within those religious entities, that there are people who are helping to move things forward. But no church tomorrow will be required to marry a same-gender couple unless it chooses to.
Mm-hmm. Ed, Reggie spoke about this a moment ago. You can elaborate, I hope, on this. What now? Now that this is settled by the courts, the idea of marriage, what comes next on the agenda of gay and lesbian advocacy?
Sure. I think the answer is everything from cradle to grave. We have laws that protect us. Here in Iowa, we have extraordinary protections. But that doesn't mean that the culture has changed. That doesn't mean that hearts and minds have been changed. And so that's part of our work. You know, as long as we are working with kids who have been bullied, some to death, you know, as long as we get calls from elder gay and lesbian, bi and trans couples who are going back into the closet because they're afraid, you know, as long as there are stereotypes and discrimination, those are things that we have to deal with. But today we're going to celebrate.
Donna Redwing, Executive Director of One Iowa, thank you for joining us with your reaction to this morning's decision.
Thank you so much.
1-866-780-9100. A couple of Facebook reactions. Bill writing on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page, "I hope this puts the discrimination to an end on all legal issues such as federal and state taxes and wills that may not specifically note the spouse by name, as well as other legal issues not mentioned here." Fifi writing, "Proud that Iowa was one of the leaders on this issue." And Tom Witowski outlining that a few moments ago, how Iowa played a major part along the path toward this day for gays and lesbians to be married in all 50 states. Let me ask you, Scott Peters, this incredible, and I think that people who do surveys, public opinion polling, haven't seen anything really like what has happened over the past 10 years on the attitudes towards same-sex marriage. Now over 60% of Americans in favor of it. Young people, even young conservative people, Republican young people, far more tolerant of allowing gays to marry than those in the older set. So was this fight over marriage actually over a while ago or decided? Could the court have decided anything else, you think?
Well, I suppose the court could have decided to let that all play out, let the politics of it play out on a state-by-state basis. And that's what some of the dissents said today, is that, in fact, what the court has done today is to end a political process that was largely going in favor of same-sex marriage, and that they have that the majority has in some way short-circuited that process possibly to the detriment of the long-term goals of the gay rights movement. I think that, you know, those in the gay rights movement would disagree with that, but I think had that process played out, had the court not stepped in, it was pretty clear that eventually same-sex marriage would have been legalized across the country. The question was how long it would have taken, and from the standpoint of the majority today, how many couples would have been denied that right in the meantime.
Scott Peters is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Northern Iowa in our Cedar Falls studio. Tom Witowski in our Des Moines studio, giving us historical perspective on this decision and also Iowa's role in this decision, tying it into the Varnum decision from 2009. We hope you'll join us for the second half hour of our program when we come back in just a few minutes. Give us your reaction to the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage. 1-866-780-9100. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, marking in conversation the decision, the milestone decision of the Supreme Court today, legalizing same-sex marriage across the United States, a 5-4 narrow decision, as narrow as it gets, with 9 justices that ruling, though, that states cannot deny gay men and lesbians the same marriage rights as those enjoyed by opposite-sex couples. We're asking you to join in with your reaction to the Supreme Court decision. Are you celebrating? Are you upset? 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. With us, Scott Peters, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Northern Iowa, to talk about the politics of that. Also, a little in a few minutes, Tom Witowski, covering politics in Iowa, law, business, sports for the Des Moines Register for over 30 years. Co-author of Equal Before the Law, How Iowa Led Americans to Marriage Equality. And let's go to our phones. Melissa is a listener in Vinton. Melissa, how are you reacting to the Supreme Court decision today?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
My heart is a little broken, and I feel saddened today for this issue. And I'm just really glad that you are letting an opposing side talk. I feel sometimes that there's like a reverse discrimination nowadays going on to people that oppose, which they want to be accepted as well.
Melissa, speak directly into your microphone. You're sounding a little bit fuzzy there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Now that's better. Thank you. So tell me, what you said your heart is saddened. What is your heart saddened about specifically?
Well, you know, I was on both sides of the fence at one time. I was on you know, I was messing around at one time. And when I was lost and then I became a Christian and I stopped that behavior, I was not born gay. I was just as experimental as many are today. And I am happily married now, and I hold that very sacred as a Christian. And I believe if God wanted two men or two women to be one with one another, then He would have made them be able to reproduce, and he's a great engineer, you know, he doesn't make mistakes. And if we, you know, like being, drinking, if you think about drinking, they made that legal, but getting drunk is a sin. You can make
okay.
marriage legal.
Melissa, I don't know, comparing drinking and drinking too much with, being, gay or lesbian, that's taking it quite a ways.
It's still God's moral law, and if we diminish his moral law, then we will have no standards to be held to.
Okay. Melissa, thank you for your view from Vinton. 1-866-780-9100. Roger writing on our Facebook page, very proud of the leadership of the Iowa Supreme Court in marriage equality. Very ashamed of the electorate when they voted out three of these courageous justices and Tom Witowski. That is part of Iowa's history here, too. After that famous Varnum decision, the very next election, 2010, three justices up for retention voted out.
Yes, it is. And it was what I view as sort of the part of the process that the state had to undertake as they dealt with this issue. I mean, we have to understand that public opinion was very much against what the Supreme Court did. I think it was a natural reaction that a lot of people would question it. There were a number of other issues that were involved during the retention election having to do with reductions in budget reductions in the courts because of the financial meltdown that occurred. It was more or less a perfect storm that allowed the majority at that time to oust justices Turnus, Baker, and Streit. But 2 years later, when Justice Wiggins ran, and 350,000 more people voted in that next election, he was retained. I think it's really – I take a kinder view towards this than a lot of people do in the sense of I think it was Iowans trying to figure out what the right answer was and whether or not judges should be taken out of office for making one single decision. And in that sense, I think Iowa learned a lot, and I think in large measures why Justice Wiggins was retained, and the next three justices, Justices Katie, Hecht, and Apple are up, and we'll see what happens in 2016.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing today that Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker has called for a constitutional amendment to allow states to define marriage on their own. After this decision, he calls it an amendment to the Constitution, the only alternative. Quoting him, recognizing that our founding fathers made our Constitution difficult to amend, I am reminded that it was first amended to protect our first freedom, the free exercise of religion. Scott Peters, do you see any way that could happen, especially with the huge change in public opinion we've witnessed?
No, I think it's almost impossible for that to happen.
Scott Walker's a savvy guy. Why is he saying it?
Well, because it's going to get him votes. And that goes right to the politics of this, right? So I've looked over some of the statements from the presidential candidates, and they kind of fall at this point into two categories. One category is which some of the people more toward the middle of the Republican Party are sort of saying, oh, I disagree with the Supreme Court, but there's not much we can do at this point. So let's make sure that people's religious liberty isn't violated as we move forward on this issue. And then you have another category of people who are more to are farther to the right within the Republican Party, who are making public statements to the effect of, we can still fight this. We can't surrender to these five unelected justices of the Supreme Court who are imposing themselves on the majority. And I think if I can briefly just talk about the politics with respect to something that we can understand here in this state. Tom was talking about the 2010 retention election. I actually, along with a former student, we analyzed the results of that election, published a paper on it, and we found that election came down entirely to politics. You can explain the county level vote for the justices. You can explain it almost entirely if you know two things. One is the share of registered Republicans within the county, and the second thing is the concentration of evangelicals within the county. And from my standpoint, the reason that Justice Wiggins was retained in 2012 had nothing to do with changing attitudes on same-sex marriage or anything like that. It had to do with a very simple fact. It was a presidential election year, and more Democrats voted. And so I think we'll continue to see on the Republican side in particular, in Iowa and probably across the country, there will be some politicians, particularly, like I say, in the Republican Party, who are able to make hay of this and able to gain votes by continuing to oppose same-sex marriage, even though the Supreme Court has spoken.
Okay. Our hour quickly coming to an end. We want to get some of our listeners who've been calling on the line. I'll ask those I go to please sum up your remarks briefly. We'd love to hear from you, but we don't have much time, so we want to get in your remarks. James is in Des Moines. Hi, James.
Hi. Marriage, the term marriage was hijacked by government to ensure that men supported their children and that there was a family unit. This legislating from the bench, they're not legislating from the bench. They're interpreting the law as they're required to do. And as one of the three equal branches, the U.S. Supreme Court says the Constitution guarantees everybody equal rights. It doesn't affect my marriage. And, I have friends who say they are going to get married, and I have friends who say they're not going to get married. So it doesn't matter to me. It hasn't affected my marriage, and I'm married.
Okay. James in Des Moines, thanks for your viewpoint. Frederick in Elkader, good afternoon to you. What's your reaction?
Thank you for taking my call. Complete joy and love wins at the end of the day. Perhaps the decision of Justice Kennedy is one of the most beautiful things that I ever read. He sums it up. I encourage everybody to read it.
What words in particular stick in your mind, Frederick?
Honestly, it's every single word of it. It's just making me and my partner equal with everybody else. To one of your previous callers, we are talking about equal protection under the law. Her religious beliefs are hers, and I respect them.
Okay. Frederick calling from Elkader, Iowa. Thank you. Matt is in Des Moines. Matt, hi. Give us your reaction.
Hi, Ben. Thanks very much for taking my call. The previous caller mentioned the religious beliefs of an earlier caller. She said that as a Christian, she was opposed to the decision. I have to say that as a Christian, I am elated by this decision because it is a situation where, as previously mentioned, love wins. I had just moved to Des Moines less than a year when the Varnum decision came down. And my oldest daughter, was born that January and was 3 months old. And I posted a picture on Facebook today of her and my wife celebrating the Varnum decision. It gives me such joy to think that my children might not remember a world before marriage equality, that they might not remember a world before we said that that when people who love each other want to commit, they should be able to do that. So I think there's a diversity of viewpoints in Christianity. I think that the Christian, the anti-marriage equality viewpoint, it gets sort of claims the Christian mantle for itself. But if we're talking about a God of love, which is the God that I believe in, I have to say that this decision is much more in line with that than keeping people from committing to one another for their lives.
Matt, thank you for those comments, your perspective from Des Moines. Very quickly, I'm going to ask Kay to give us her view from Coralville.
I just wanted to make the point that head judge John Roberts, he read his opinion for like 10 minutes, and he dissented. But he also said that he, several times, that he thought gays should celebrate today. And I think that's important to mention.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kay, in Coralville. He did say that. He did say they ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law, the Constitution. Okay, that was Kennedy. He said, do not celebrate the Constitution. This is Roberts. It had nothing to do with it. Scott Peters. So Kennedy saying it had to do with the Constitution. Roberts in his dissent saying it did not, Scott.
Right. And it comes down to, essentially from a constitutional standpoint, what you think the fundamental right that's at issue here is. Kennedy thinks that there's this basic right to marriage and respecting people's dignity and intimacy within that relationship, whereas the dissenters all argue that there is no fundamental right here that's protected by the Constitution, that the Constitution really leaves this completely up to the states.
Okay. The court's finding that same-sex couples have a right to marry under the Constitution, making gay marriage legal in the remaining 13 states, from Georgia to North Dakota to Texas. Earlier today, I spoke with Sarah Vereen. She's a writer in a same-sex marriage from Iowa, now living in Lubbock, Texas. Author of the 2014 article online, How to Unmarry Your Wife. We spoke with her in 2014 about being, she was legally married to her wife here in Iowa, moved to Texas for career reasons to Lubbock, then had her marriage not recognized there. I spoke to her earlier today and asked her to begin with for her reaction.
Well, it was amazing. I was telling Martha, my wife, that I hadn't expected to be as excited as I was. And I think it's just that you get sort of used to living in a prejudiced world, right? And we still are in a prejudiced world, but it's one step better. It's one moment better. And so when I actually found out the news because somebody had tweeted congratulations to me, and I just started crying, and I was crying for a while. I actually cried more today, I think, than I did at our actual wedding in Iowa. So It's a nice day. It's really affirming, I think, as a person.
Mm-hmm. Affirming. Reaction from friends, colleagues, neighbors there in Lubbock? Have you had any yet this morning?
Yeah, we've had lots of. A friend offered to bake us a cake for a reception, so we thought, well, we might as well have a reception. So I think we're going to have a small reception at our house on Sunday and invite some people in town, just as a way of celebrating that. In some ways, I put something on Facebook that we had gotten remarried. You know, it does feel like even though we knew we were married, in Texas we really weren't, and we kind of lived with that, you know, that sort of cloud. And so it does feel like something's changed.
Do you know if you have to do anything? Is your Iowa marriage now automatically recognized? Do you have to go to any of the authorities in Texas?
I have no idea. This is the bureaucracy of the situation. We were actually just discussing whether I could now get on my wife's insurance because she has a tenure track job at the university here. And so we said, well, I assume so, but you know, it's sort of hard to know how quickly the bureaucratic machine will work.
So you don't really know a lot of questions about how this will change your life there in Lubbock, Texas, in practical terms.
Yeah, there's one thing though, and that I had thought about since I first talked to you guys, which is that we're considering having another child, and it's such a relief, I think, to start planning that, knowing that the marriage ban has been overturned, because it's scary to be in a state and think you might have a child, and that you might have a judge that wouldn't grant your partner you know, the rights to adopt that child. And so I feel, I mean, we don't know with the bureaucratic machine, but I assume with the ban being overturned that judges would have to recognize, you know, my partner as also the mother of another child we have. So that is a relief.
What do you have planned for the rest of the day?
Well, I have to go teach a class in about an hour. But
business
but
as usual.
That, yes. But after that, we are going to go out and celebrate tonight. And then, like I said, on Sunday, I think we'll have a small reception. So, and okay. I've been getting, you know, messages from friends all around the world and the United States. And I even had one friend that I met 10 years ago who wrote to say that, you know, congratulations, and that, you know, knowing me had actually changed his perspective on gay people, which I was like, wow, he never would have told me that, I don't think, unless this decision had come down and we're all sort of in a state of celebration. So it's a nice moment.
A huge shift in public opinion over the past 10 years towards gay and lesbian couples. A few words, do you have a few words for those who were hoping for the court to make a different ruling than it did today?
I guess my advice to them would be to get to know gay and lesbian couples like myself and Martha and other people. I keep remembering, you know, I lived in Texas actually when they passed the marriage ban here. I was in Houston. I was actually in Galveston. I was a reporter there. And I remember being at the gym next to this woman who was watching the news about the ban, and she looked over to me and she said, "Isn't that disgusting about the, you know, gays?" And I looked over at her and I said, "I'm a lesbian." And she looked back at me and she didn't say something for a little while. And then she said, "Oh, I've never met a gay person. I'm sorry." So, you know, I guess for those people that are disappointed, I would recommend that they open their minds a little bit and, you know, try to get to know people outside their very small circles, conservatives.
Sarah Vereen, thank you very much. Writer in a same-sex marriage, married in Iowa to Marta, who is originally from Spain. Now Marta and Sarah are legally married also in Texas. Thanks for the conversation, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That from earlier this morning. Quickly to our guests with us the whole hour, because we want to get to one other thing. Scott Peters, Tom Witowski. Scott Peters, look forward for us. What comes after this in your mind?
Like I said a minute ago, politically, I think you will see it be a big issue on the Republican side in presidential elections and other elections as well. But then I think some of your other guests have already talked about some of the next things in terms of the legal issues that may arise from this, in terms of how this might pertain to different religious organizations. What's the next arena for gay rights organizations? Is it employment discrimination or what have you? Mm-hmm. I would say those are some things to look for down the road.
A few seconds for closing thoughts from Tom Witowski.
I agree. I think there will be initially some political pushback there, particularly with the religious issue, religious freedom issue. Some people have sort of described that as the negotiation of terms of surrender. I think that Iowa provides a really good illustration of what happens as this thing goes on. Life goes on. People have their views. They maintain their views. But before, as it develops and as it evolves, what happens is that life just goes on and there isn't much change at all.
Okay, Tom Witowski and Scott Peters, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Before we end this hour, let's check in with Joyce Russell because there was a big ruling handed down by the Iowa Supreme Court this morning. Joyce, we've got a minute or two. Can you tell us what the ruling was and the importance of it? Sorry to give you such a short amount, but this is a huge decision that we've been talking about.
Well, this has to do with juvenile sentencing. In a nutshell, both the U.S. and the Iowa Supreme Courts have thrown out as unconstitutional the mandatory life in prison without parole for juveniles. And since that time, one by one, these 40 or more people in prison who were convicted as juveniles have gone before that, had gotten their sentences resentenced to life with the possibility of parole. They have one by one gone before the parole board and been turned down. So in a Story County case, a case involving a woman, Yvette Louiselle, who was 17 when she killed a man in Ames, they sort of pushed this to its limit, and a Story County judge commuted her sentence, or not commuted, but resentenced her to 25 years and said that's time served and said she should be released. Well, the state immediately, of course, appealed that. And today, the Iowa Supreme Court agreed with the state and threw out that Story County judge's resentencing. And now it goes back to Story County for another look.
Okay, Joyce Russell, that's all we have time for now. Thank you very much for catching us up to date on that decision, a day of momentous decisions, I guess, big decisions from the Iowa Supreme Court there. Before that, from the U.S. Supreme Court. Joyce Russell, thank you very much.
Okay.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. John Pemble helped us out in Des Moines today in Cedar Falls, help from Tony Daner. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us.